was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time.
Glory to God. be seated. Thank you. I want to welcome everybody who's here this morning, here on Palm Sunday. It's hard to believe that Easter is right around the corner here for us. But I want to welcome everybody here today. Welcome to everyone on our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. Comment especially, that helps in the algorithms to get things out there before people. And we also want to welcome those on our phone live streaming. Thank you for joining with us today also. If you know anybody who needs that, who does not have the internet, that's a great resource that we have. See me after the service. Be glad to give you that number. Call the church office. We'll be glad to share that with you. Also want to encourage you, if you do have access at home, to our church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go over under the info tab. That's where you'll find the bulletin for today. These are at the doors as you came in today. We've got our children's worship bulletins. Be sure to get one of those. It's got some puzzles and things in it also, some things that reinforce the message that will be shared later this morning. Those are in the windowsill to my right. That's also under that info tab, as well as your prayer list is there under that info tab. And those are out here on the table, or actually I think on the front pew over here, if you want to grab one of those a little bit later. But want to welcome our guests especially. Thank you so much for being here. We do have a few guest bags at the doors if you want to grab one of those. There's one over here to my left also. But want to encourage you, it's got some gifts in it for you. It's got some information about our church. There's a guest card that's there in it also, but there's one in the pew in front of you. You can fill that out, place it in an offering plate as you leave, or scan the QR code there, and we'll be able to get that information to be able to follow up with you to let you know how glad we are to have you with us this morning. So looking forward to a wonderful service this morning. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. Join us as we stand and sing hymn 206, Blessed Be the Name.
this time, we have our missionary of the week moment. You'll notice that in your bulletins, the little asterisk beside the names there means that they're in a secure place. And so because of that, we have to guard their real names, but encourage you to take the time to read about their story. We are still emphasizing our Annie Armstrong Easter offering and continuing to use the prayer guide there as you continue to pray about God leading you to give towards that offering. But we have a special video we want to share with you this morning from one of our other missionaries.
My church planting journey, we actually started to meet in a house. We thought we were going to have to grow everything from ground up. And God said, no, I have a place already reserved for you. And it has blown our minds. When we started in church planting, I had to be bivocational. And I heard about the church at 3233 Ames Boulevard because I had a lawn care and landscape business. And I started coming over and taking care of the properties. And the church was so close to closing, maybe a couple months.
My name is Linda Morrow, and I've been going to church here since 1971. My life is invested in this church. And the church was literally functioning on senior citizens. We prayed and prayed and prayed about it. We knew something had to give because we didn't want to close the doors.
We found a people who were hungry for the excitement of what the church used to be. After we met together, our congregations gelled and they invited us in. In replanting, you're bringing this new congregation to a dying church that needs revitalization. And that's what happened. So the new church is called Cross Community Church at Ames.
God just meshed it right there. The church was filling up. Baptisms were happening, salvations were happening. I mean, the church was just on fire, and I love it.
When a church dies, what it says to the community about God is that God wasn't powerful enough to keep its church going. But when a church is raised from the dead, it says that God isn't finished with this community.
What a powerful story of God's grace and God's mercy there in a replant of the church. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for missionaries like these that we've seen in our video today, the ones that are in our bulletin and their story. Father, we have missionaries who are serving all around this world, and because we partner through the cooperative program with many other Southern Baptist churches around this nation, we're able to support those missionaries staying on the field. So Lord, as we're praying for and emphasizing the North American missions offering, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, we pray, Father, that you will bless our hearts, bless our lives, that we might be a blessing to the nations to share the gospel through these missionaries. Lord, we pray for things that are going on in many places, like church replants that are happening all around our nation, too, in North America. And we thank you for these missionaries doing this down in South Louisiana. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon them. We ask, Heavenly Father, for you to stir their hearts, and we ask, Lord, for you to just continue to multiply the church there, multiply all of our churches, Lord, that we might reach more for the sake of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing of being here this morning. We pray, Lord, as we come to worship you, maybe there's cares or burdens or distractions we have that we've been carrying around all week. Father, I pray that we would lay them this morning at the foot of the cross, and may you help us, Lord, to leave this place this morning refreshed, revived, and for those who don't know Christ, to leave this place saved. And we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Just want to encourage you again, you can go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to the far right-hand side, do your online giving, or you can do it with the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. There's one for your regular offering. There's one for Annie Armstrong Easter offering, so be sure to take note of that. Next Sunday, as we said, is Easter. We have lots of things still coming up. Great time yesterday with our Easter egg hunt. We had 90 kids plus their families that were here yesterday for that, so a great outreach, and we'll continue. continue outreaching to them, especially as we get ready for Vacation Bible School. But this coming Sunday, we'll have our sunrise service at 7 o'clock in the morning. Right after that will be breakfast. Some of our guys are going to be cooking the breakfast there for us. And then after that, we'll have Sunday school and then our worship service at 10:30. The choir is going to be singing our Easter cantata. I'll be bringing the Word of God that Sunday. Encourage you. Invite others to come for that. Not only is the choir going to be singing, the kids are going to be singing, you're going to receive a wonderful blessing. We've already had them in here practicing this past week, and they'll be here again this coming Wednesday. So if you want to take one of these cards, they are around on the stage here in the windowsills. Be sure to pick up one of those. You can use them as an invite to invite people to come for that. Want to encourage everybody who's here to stay today. We have our fifth Sunday dinner today, ham sides and desserts that you brought. That's right after the worship service. Even if you didn't bring anything this morning, we encourage you to stay. There is plenty of ham. And let me say this, if there's any of you out there that love ham bones and you want to use that for soup later, see me. We still have the ham bones and I can get you hooked up with one of those. We have eight of those. So. Also want to just briefly say this, you'll see this being advertised over the next few weeks. Our CDC is looking for a teacher for 3 to 5 year olds, a morning teacher. You can see the information on the screen there. You can call the church office, talk to Miss Ann. She'll be glad to share more with you about that. We have one of our teachers that's retiring this year, and we need a replacement for her. It's going to be hard to fill her shoes. She's been here for so long. We're going to share more about that as that gets closer, but just wanted to share this with you this morning, that if you are interested in or know someone who might be interested, please have them get connected with Miss Ann. Also, just want to put one more plug out there for the Women's Night of Worship. This will be the last time we do that because that's coming up in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks as of yesterday. Women's Night of Worship is going to be at Trinity Baptist over in Manchester. You can scan the QR code, call the church office, call the association office. Dinner's going to be at 5, the worship at 6. So please come for that. And then two other things. We've been emphasizing this. We have Endless Highway that's going to be coming the Sunday after Easter. Help us spread the word. That's on our Facebook page also. And then you might have saw the misprint one yesterday, but this morning we put this out. Mark Trammell Quartet is also going to be here at the end of the month. So I want to encourage you, help us spread the word about that also. We'll have some flyers that you can take next Sunday if you want to put those around in different places. But they're an awesome quartet. They're both of these groups. You're going to be wonderfully blessed. That one is going to be in the evening at 6 o'clock on the 26th there. And also, don't forget the Bless app. If you don't want to do that online to put your email in or whatever, all you need to do is grab one of these cards. They're around on the stage also. On the back, you can fill that out, put it in an offering plate, hand it to me, put it in the box on the door of Amy's office there, and we'll be glad to get you that information so you can start praying for your neighbors.
I know Jason's going to mention this later with the announcement, but tonight's Phil Sunday Sing, too. And I'm going to ask that if you're going to even think about singing tonight, let me know today, because I'm not going to add your name tonight. I'll add it today. So let me know if you even think about you're going to sing tonight, and we'll have a good time. We'll have a ball. If you can and would, stand with us. Well, let's don't stand on this one. We're going to sing At the Cross. We're going to gather at the cross, hymn 139, and we're going to sing the first, second, and fifth verse. So you be seated. Y'all stand. And now I am
and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Very good. Children's church during this next hymn. We'll be gathering on the piano side. Trey is in the lead. Okay, at Calvary, y'all stand with us, please.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so fell liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin,
somewhere along the way, we lose that excitement about church, don't we? You see those kids running down to get to children's church? What if every one of us ran or drove as fast as we could to get here to church every day? What a blessing that is. They're excited about church. We ought to be excited about church, setting an example for them. Take your Bibles this morning, and if you will, turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 13, 14, and 15. The message this morning is heirs by faith. We're continuing this wonderful walk through this wonderful book. It is more than just, you know, sometimes we like a feel-good message. This is a little bit deeper, and so I hope that we can bring this to a place where you can understand and grasp some of these truths that Paul is telling us about here, especially in chapter 4, and why this is so important for our relationship with Jesus Christ ourselves. And so these verses are going to teach us something very important, and really the whole Bible teaches this. That there are two futures for us, and we're going to get to those as we get into this passage. But Romans chapter 4, verse 13, or 14 and 15. Would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that we would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I know you want to teach us these truths to give us, Lord, a firmer foundation in our walk with you than we've ever had before. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit to lead us, to fill us, to guide us, to help us, Lord. You've told us in your word where we lack wisdom, Lord, that if we would ask, you would give that wisdom. And so give us that wisdom concerning these verses that we're looking at, Lord. Help us to grasp them. Help us to understand this truth that you want us to know this morning. So bless us, Lord, as we continue to worship you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, as I said, the truth of the Bible and these verses that we're looking at show us that every person has one of two possible futures. One is to inherit the world through God's promise, and the other is to inherit wrath, judgment. Our future is heaven as believers, and the other is hell. In verse 13 there, you read that the promise to Abraham and his descendants was that they would be heirs of the world. And we know from earlier verses that the descendants of Abraham are not just Jewish by birth. So as Paul is speaking even to Jewish believers who are in Rome, as he's speaking, and some would want to limit this to just the Jewish people, it's more than just that. It is those who have trusted by faith, because it's not just the Jews by birth, it's those who share Abraham's faith. And so whether or not you're included in that promise depends entirely on your faith. Where is your faith? Verse 15, as we read there, tells us that the law brings wrath. And so the scripture makes it very clear that there's two possible futures for every one of us: inheriting the world through God's promise or inheriting wrath under the law. Now, a person might respond to what Paul has told us here, and you might respond in one of several ways. Somebody might say, well, I don't believe that. I believe when we die, that's the end. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's nothing after this. And there are a lot of people who believe that today. Another person might say, well, I think everybody goes to heaven eventually. God's a God of love. He's going to save everybody. I don't believe in eternal wrath. And there are many ways to God. Some people believe that. People can believe those things if they choose. In fact, if people at least wrestled with those kinds of questions, it would mean that they're at least thinking seriously about eternity. But the truth is, many people don't even think about eternity at all. Think about that. Many people in this world, maybe even some of you who are here this morning, are so focused on our daily life, on our work, on our plans, on maybe our entertainment that we're doing that day, or our schedules, that we never stop to consider, where am I going to spend eternity? But eternity is far more important than this. Compared to eternity, this life is but a vapor. It is very short. The most important business of life is getting ready to meet God. And nothing's more important than that. So my prayer is this morning is that we wouldn't be so distracted by the temporary things of life that we ignore the eternal realities that matter the most. I pray that God would stir our hearts to the truth and help us to feel the weight and the importance of His Word. When you look at these three verses, I want you to see several things. So I'm going to give you the three main points for my outline, and then we're going to go through each one of those, or at least as far as we can go today. The first is this, we're going to look at, is why the law of God can't help us secure our inheritance. The second thing we're going to look at is how the promise of inheriting the world comes through the righteousness of faith. And the third thing is how great that inheritance really is and why we ought to be seeking it with all of our hearts. So let's look at the first, how and why the law of God cannot secure our inheritance. So we want to look at those last two verses that we looked at and read through just a moment ago, first in verse 14 and verse 15. Let's read those verses again. He says, "For if it is the adherents, those who keep the keepers of the law, if you will, who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression." So understand this, when Paul here is talking about the law here, he's not talking about the entire Old Testament. He is speaking specifically about the law given through Moses, the commandments given at Mount Sinai, which came hundreds of years after God made his promise to Abraham. Remember that? If you go back to the beginning of verse four, of chapter 4, one of the things he uses to talk about why our salvation does not come by works but comes by faith, he uses Abraham and his story as one of the examples, and he uses David as the other. And so before Abraham ever came, before the law was ever given through Moses, that came hundreds of years after God had made his promise to Abraham. So the promise of Abraham came first, and as we've already talked about it in those first verses, it came by faith. The law came later, and it came with commandments, and those commandments reveal our sin. That's why he's saying, without any commandments, you don't know about your sin. Paul's point is that the inheritance here was never meant to come through keeping the law. When he's talking about inheritance there, he's talking about our salvation and the totality of that, and especially eternity. He's saying the point of that inheritance was never meant to come through keeping the law, but through faith in God's promise. So why does, and that brings some questions, that's why we want to really pick apart these three verses this morning. Why does Paul say that the law brings wrath? Why does the law bring wrath? Well, because the law commands obedience. And when those commandments are broken, judgment follows. The law is not like us today so often when we're raising our kids and we give them the rule, but then we fudge on the rule. And we say, oh, that's okay, they really didn't mean it. When you break the law, the Word of God, you've sinned. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when those commands are broken, judgment follows. And so the law tells us what is right, but it also shows us that we fail to do what is right. The problem is not the law. The law is holy and good. The problem is us. We're sinners, and we cannot perfectly keep the law. The law of God, the law of God's word, actually exposes sin. Because before a commandment is ever given, a person may feel something is wrong, but not clearly see it as a sin. There are people all around this world that have that experience every single day. They know that there's something wrong with what they see going on around them or within them, but they don't necessarily see it as a sin. That's important. So the law, when God gives a command and we break that command, disobedience becomes a clear violation. And the law turns what might have been ignored into a definite sin. It tells us what you did, was wrong. It's not just wrong, it is sin. So Paul explains that in several places in Romans. He says that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. He says that the law causes sin to increase. And he explains that the commandment shows sin for what it really is. It is exceedingly sinful. In other words, the law reveals our condition and shows us just how much we need God's grace. So that's why the passage tells us where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, because we need God's grace. So instead of helping us with the law, instead of helping us to earn righteousness, the law shows us you cannot earn it. There's no way you could perfectly keep the law. Instead of then securing our inheritance, our salvation, the law shows us that's why you need a Savior, because you can't do it. And that's Paul's point in Romans chapter 4 in verse 14 and verse 15, that if a person tries to base their relationship with God on keeping the commandments, then faith would be unnecessary and the promise would be canceled. You get that? If you try to base it on keeping the law, your life on keeping the law, then that makes faith null and void, and the promise is canceled. But the truth is, we cannot be saved by keeping the law, as we said, because we cannot keep it perfectly. So our inheritance does not come through the law. It comes through faith. It comes through the righteousness of God given to us through Jesus Christ. It's not a righteousness we earn. It is a righteousness we receive by faith. By faith in Him alone, in Christ alone. And that's the good news of the gospel, that your salvation is not based on what you do or don't do. That is hugely important for us to make sure we understand as believers. So that leads us to our second point, how the promise comes through the righteousness of faith at the same time while the Bible still requires a righteous life. So let's go back to verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law." In other words, the law hadn't even been given at that point, but it came through the righteousness of faith. So that raises an important question there. How can you say that the promise of inheriting the world comes through the righteousness of faith when the Bible also teaches that we have to live a righteous life? Let me explain the question, and then I'll give the biblical answer here. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 clearly tells us the inheritance, our salvation, does not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That means the righteousness that Paul is talking about is not something that we earn by obeying the law. It's something that God credits to our account when we believe. We've talked about that before. Earlier we said that Abraham believed God and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Go over and look at Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith. And one of those first people you're going to read there is Abraham. And it says, not by the law, not by him being obedient when he went to offer his son Isaac on the altar there, but it says by faith, Abraham. So what happened there is God counted him righteous, perfect, because he believed, not because he himself was perfect. And that's what we call imputed righteousness. That just means it's counted to you, that you didn't earn it. It's just given to you as a free gift when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the righteousness God credits to us through faith. So our inheritance is based on God's righteousness that's given to us, not our righteousness performed by us. But then we come to another question. The Bible, as we said, also teaches that our lives ought to show obedience. Our lives ought to show righteousness. So it teaches that the direction of our lives matters. So how do you reconcile those two truths? Well, you can see the answer in the life of Abraham. If you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis in chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15 down to verse 18, that's the story of Abraham offering Isaac on the altar. God had told him that I want you to take your son and I want you to go to this mountain I'm going to show you. Didn't even tell him what the mountain was at the time, but it was Mount Moriah that we find out later. He leaves his servants down at the bottom of the mountain. He takes his son with him. His son takes the wood with him, and they're going up the mountain. They build an altar. When they get up there, the son looks around and he thinks, Dad, here's the wood. We brought the fire with us, but where's the sacrifice? And you remember what Abraham said? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. But he still did what the Lord told him to do. The Lord told him to sacrifice his son there. He offered his son Isaac on the altar. And in those verses in Genesis 22 and verse 15 down to verse 18, God repeated, after he did that and God spared his son Isaac because he saw the faithfulness of Abraham, some would look at that and say, see, his obedience earned his salvation, his right standing with God. But here's what I want you to see. When God repeated his promise to Abraham, he said that the blessing would come because you have obeyed my voice. Look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, after he's already spared, after he's already provided the ram in the thicket. And he said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And verse 18 says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Some would point at that and say, see, because you obeyed, you earned the salvation. So how can the promise come through faith and yet also be connected to obedience? That's hard for us to sometimes wrap our minds around, but I want to give you the answer. The answer is this. Obedience is not the basis, the foundation of the promise. Obedience is not the basis of the promise. Obedience is the evidence of faith. The foundation of Abraham's inheritance was the righteousness that God credited to him when he believed. But the reality of Abraham's faith was demonstrated through faith, or through obedience, rather. Through obedience. His obedience didn't earn the promise. His obedience proved that his faith was real. It's like a tree and fruit. The fruit doesn't make the tree alive. The tree with its roots produces the fruit because it's alive. And that's why we've been saying all through this that it's not the root, it's the fruit. That's what obedience is. Obedience doesn't produce salvation. Salvation produces obedience. Abraham had already demonstrated his faith when he first left from the land of Ur and came down to the Chaldees. He continued that faith when God told him, I want you to take your son and go up to this mountain. So before he ever built an altar, he demonstrated his faith. And then when he followed through in obedience, that obedience was evidence of his faith in God. So the Bible is consistent. Our inheritance is not based on works. It's not the basis. But our works do reveal whether our faith is genuine or not. So if you, in your own heart, in your own life, want to examine your life, where is the fruit of your salvation? If there's no fruit of your salvation, there's a problem with the tree and the root. Either you don't have your root, your tree planted in Jesus Christ by faith, or you maybe built it on works. Maybe your life is built on works or something else. You see, understand this. That's why what we're seeing here, the foundation of our hope is not our performance. The foundation of our hope is the righteousness of God given to us through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us and his resurrection from the grave. That's why the most important thing in the Christian life is to continue trusting Jesus Christ and to keep on growing in your faith. And when we fail, and we will fail, we don't run away from God. We run to the cross for forgiveness and for strength to keep on walking in obedience. So understand, the Christian life isn't a life of trying to earn God's favor. You could never earn God's favor. In fact, he's already shown you his greatest love he could. So it's a life of trusting Jesus Christ, and that trust changes how you live. And so make it your goal to strengthen your faith, to walk in God, to live a life that demonstrates that your faith is real. In many ways, the Christian life can be described with this simple phrase. It is a fight for faith. Which leads us to our third point, to see how great this inheritance is and why we ought to seek it with our whole heart. Why should we do that? Well, the truth is, this inheritance, this blessing that God gives us when we receive salvation by faith is so great, it is so vast, it is so wonderful, it is difficult to understand, to fully understand it. The Bible teaches that those who belong to God will share in his kingdom, will share in his glory, will share in his eternal promises. This inheritance that he's talking about here in these verses is not a temporary inheritance. It is an eternal inheritance. It's not uncertain. It's guaranteed by the promise of God. That's what verse 13 is telling us in Romans chapter 4. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That means that Abraham and every person who shares that same faith, trusting in God, are heirs of this promise. And according to Romans 4 and verse 11, anyone who trusts God for righteousness the way that Abraham did becomes one of his descendants. And so that means that if your trust is in Jesus Christ, then this promise belongs to you. You will inherit the world, not wrath. You'll inherit eternal life, not judgment. You will inherit God's promises forever. And so we come back to the truth that we started with. Every person has two possible futures in front of them. One is to inherit the world through the righteousness that comes by faith, and the other is to inherit wrath or judgment by trying to stand before God on your own righteousness, which is unrighteousness. Because the Bible tells us that all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. You bring your righteousness before God, your efforts, your good works, he says it's like filthy rags, like you're bringing dirty clothes, dirty soiled towels before Jesus. So everything comes down to one question. Has the righteousness of God been credited to your account? In other words, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, or are you trusting in yourself and your own good works, or trusting in something else? What makes the difference between those two futures is not how good you think you are, because, man, we can make ourselves look pretty good, especially when we compare ourselves to others. So it's not how good you think you are. It's not how religious you are, and it's not how many good things you have done. The difference is whether you have trusted Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to be your righteousness before God. So my encouragement to you is very simple. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. Depend on Him alone for your salvation. And if you already know Him, then live every day in the hope of this great inheritance that God has promised to every person who belongs to Him. Because one day, those who trust Him will inherit the world. Which brings us to our fourth question. What does it mean to be an heir? That's the one question we've left unanswered. What does it mean to be an heir in this context of the world? Because Abraham was promised that he would be heir of the world, and this passage tells us that those who have faith are heirs along with him. So what does that mean that you are an heir of the world? And what difference should that make in your life right now? To understand that, we have to ask, where did Paul get this idea in the Old Testament? Because if you search in the Old Testament, you won't find that phrase, heir of the world. So how could Paul summarize, if you will, God's promise to Abraham this way? Well, the answer is that several promises God made to Abraham point to this very truth. Again, turn back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 17, in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8, it tells us that God is speaking to Abraham about the promise that he's giving to him. And notice what verse 8 of Genesis 17 says. And he says, "And I will give to you, Abraham, and to your offspring, all your descendants, and those who by faith trust in God, who are part of that, and to your offspring, after you, the land of the sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So God said to Abraham that he would give him and his descendants the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And what's interesting is that God didn't just say Abraham's descendants would receive the land, not just his descendants. He said that Abraham himself would receive it. But go back and read Abraham's story. Abraham never possessed the land during his lifetime in the way the promise described. So that tells us something important. Abraham must live again to receive what God promised him. In other words, this promise is pointing to resurrection and future inheritance. Abraham will inherit what God promised because death will not be the end of him. And if you are here this morning and you have trusted by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, death is not the end for you. Second, look at Genesis 17, verse 7. He made an even greater promise. He says, "And I will establish my covenant between you, me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." That's a great promise in the Bible. I will be your God. And when God says that He will be your God, that means you belong to Him. You are His forever. And even death cannot separate you from Him. That's what Paul's going to tell us later. Jesus Himself said that God isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. And that means that Abraham is alive to God and will inherit what God promised him. The same is true for everyone who shares Abraham's faith. But then let me show you one other place in Genesis 22 and verse 17. Genesis 22 and verse 17. God promised Abraham when he said, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. That means that ultimately the descendants of Abraham won't be defeated. Their enemies won't triumph over them. In the end, they'll inherit the promises of God and live in victory under his rule, under God's rule. So understand this. When you put all those promises together, you begin to understand what Paul meant when he said that Abraham would be heir of the world. It means that God's promise was far bigger than one piece of land over in the Middle East. It pointed to a future kingdom, because through the Jewish people would come the Messiah, who would come to be born and live that perfect sinless life on your behalf, who would extend his arms and die on a cross for you and be buried in a tomb to 3 days later arise from that tomb. What a wonderful truth here, that this truth is pointing to a future kingdom, because you remember when the disciples stood on that hillside and Jesus ascended into the heavens, the angel said, why do you stand there gazing up into the heavens? Just like he left, he's going to return one day. One day, Jesus is coming back. So what he's talking about here in Romans is a future kingdom, a future inheritance, a future where God's people would belong to him forever and share in the blessings and share in his rule. And the wonderful truth is this: every person who believes Jesus Christ by faith becomes a fellow heir with Abraham and shares in that promise. So what does that mean for you? What difference should that make in your life to know that you're an heir of the world? Well, one thing is this: this truth ought to fill your heart with joy, because the Bible tells us we're to rejoice in hope and to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because when you understand that your future is secure in Jesus Christ and that God has promised an eternal inheritance for you, that ought to bring within your heart a joy into your life. If that truth doesn't feel real to you, then spend time with God in prayer. Be in the Word until it becomes real in your heart. It is not some dream. It is not some fantasy. The real illusion is living as if this present world is all that there is. This world is not all that there is. The second thing that this ought to make a difference in your life about this morning is that this truth ought to give you strength as a believer and stability, especially in times of suffering and difficulty. And who here is not in times of suffering and difficulty? This life brings trials and disappointments and hardships, but when everything around you feels so uncertain, you can stand on this one unshakable truth that if you have trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you belong to Jesus and you have this promise of an eternity with him. Your future is secure. God's promises will not fail. So when life is falling apart, this hope ought to cause you and help you to hold you steady and remind you that God is still in control. But here's another truth. It ought to give you courage to step out in faith and to serve God boldly. Your future is secure if you're a believer, and your inheritance is certain. And so here's a truth you need to get in your heart. You do not have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear of what somebody might say to you. You're sharing the gospel with somebody. They maybe attack you verbally or whatever, or even physically, as people do in many places around the world. You don't have to live in fear. You can take risks for God. You can serve Him. You can give to Him. You can go. You can help. You can teach. You can witness. You can invest your life in things that matter for eternity. And when you know that you're an heir of this world, you live with your open hands and a bold heart, trusting that God is going to take care of you and He's going to keep your promises. But here's the final thing. This truth ought to cause you to give glory to God by trusting Him. Notice what happened for Abraham. Abraham grew strong in the faith because the scripture tells us he was fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Let me encourage you this morning. Here are the promises of God. You ought to be in this word learning the promises of God, because not a one of the promises that He has made has He not been able to perform. You see, that's what faith really is. It's believing that God will do what He said He will do. And when you trust God and you live in confidence in His promise, then you begin to bring glory to Him in your life by the obedience of your life. So remember those four things: rejoice in hope, stand firm in trials, serve God boldly, and trust God completely. Why? Because if you belong to Jesus, you're an heir of the world, an eternity with Him forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We thank You for Your word and for the promises that You've given to those who trust in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for our salvation. Thank You for the inheritance, and that it doesn't depend on our works. Lord, how difficult that would be to even think that our salvation was based on our works, because we would feel like we're saved one day and lost the next, and saved the next and lost the next. And what a life that would be. Lord, I praise You and thank You that our salvation and our inheritance doesn't depend on those works, but that it depends on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly, and that righteousness is given to us by faith. Lord, help us to live by faith every day. Help us to trust You in every circumstance. Help us, Lord, to keep our hearts focused on eternity and not just on the things of this world. And strengthen us, Lord, when we face those trials, and we will. Lord, remind us that our future is secure in You. And help us, Lord, to live with courage and to live with obedience. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us to be faithful stewards of all that You have entrusted to us, and to live our lives in such a way that it brings honor and glory to Your name. And Lord, if there is anyone who is here who has never trusted by faith in Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day that they would place their faith in Him and receive that gift of eternal life. Lord, we love You. We trust You. We thank You for all that You have done for us. And we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Mike, would you come and lead us? Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, Jesus Paid It All? Would you come during this invitation as the Lord leads?
Thine all in all, Jesus.
sin had left a prince of stain.
Can be seated for just a moment. Brother Jason's going to come and some others to share some announcements.
I think we've just got Brittany.
Okay, I have a few things, so just stick with me. First, on April 11th at 10 is the women's paint party in the fellowship hall. The cost of that is $40. Please make sure you have signed up either in the sign-up sheet on the sign-up sheet in the hallway or through the QR code on Facebook by the 31st so that we know how many people will be attending for that. Along those same lines of a women's get together, beginning April 19th, there will be a new women's Bible study class for some of the younger women. We're not going to take away from the class that Miss Pat teaches. We will be looking at a study called Body and Soul by Lisa Whittle. So if you would like to join that class, please let me know so that we can start getting books ordered. Last, we still need somebody who would be willing to teach big kids music for VBS and a few people to help decorate this main hallway, the hallway to the fellowship hall, and then potentially help Miss Linda with the sanctuary. So if that's something you would like to do, please let me know about that. In order to teach the class, you do need to be a church member and have been a church member for 6 months. Also for VBS and on April 19th, we will be having a teacher training with Gary Urban. So please make efforts to attend that. Thank you.
Just a reminder, in case you forgot, there's food in the fellowship hall. We'll ask the Lord to bless that when we dismiss. Don't forget, if you're singing tonight, let Mike know today, not tonight. Keep Amy Jackson in your prayers with her diagnosis. She's in Murfreesboro for at least another 3 days, 4 days. So keep her and her family in your prayers. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord and dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you. Please keep Amy and her family in your prayers. We lift them up. We ask for healing and comfort, above all, peace for understanding. Please bless this food that was prepared for us, for our bodies and our bodies to your service. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.